and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning. Welcome to the Friday edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrill live right in front of Clare Court. Great location every morning. We've already seen the horses working out. It's a nice morning. Again, it's a little bit, still a little bit steamy, but not near yesterday. Yesterday was a little bit crazy. So I think it's going to be a fun day of racing. They're on the turf all day today, so that's a bonus as well. Today on our show, a little bit later, we'll be joined by Joe Applebaum, board president at the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. We'll talk a little New York racing and whatnot. It was aftercare day yesterday. We'll touch on that. Also going to ask Joe about HISA and how that's been going in New York in the first few weeks of the federal legislation taking effect. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Joe Krong. He's on the Rise Again stable, local guy, and he got a win at Saratoga yesterday. I always like to root for the locals, so we'll ask what it was like to be in the winner's circle up here at Saratoga with a relatively small outfit. It was fun to see. They were very enthusiastic, as they should be. And we'll also be joined by Howard Kravitz. If you've never listened to the Triple H Racing podcast, I recommend it. You can find it on YouTube, and I caught up with that podcast going back a couple of months maybe, and I sent Howard an email. I said, hey, you guys are doing a great job. He said, I'm going to be in Saratoga. And so I said, well, come over and talk about the podcast. So we'll do a little handicapping with Howard at the end of the show as well. But now, our first visit this season from Sean Clancy, Saratoga Special. We had his brother Joe on last week, and we'll have the Saratoga Special guys rotating in throughout the meet on Fridays. And I know, Sean, you got a little bit of a late start at Saratoga, so welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. I missed the first couple days. I had some runners at Colonial Downs, and my son Miles and I came up on Friday. And, of course, I got sick, not COVID. I got sick for a few days, but we're back in action.
Everybody has to take that asterisk.
I think I just had a cold, or I know I just had a cold. So, it's great to be back. I mean, look, it's Saratoga. It's that one place, one time a year where you're exactly where you want to be, which is just brilliant.
So I have to ask. I'm assuming Miles has been pulled into the he's driving the cart, maybe making deliveries?
I told him. I said, don't drive the golf cart. That's the way. That's rule number one. We've had a few violations over the years. Jack Clancy, one of my brother's middle son, he was driving a cart once, and that was a disaster. So we don't let the kids drive the carts, but they certainly ride in the carts and hand out papers. He did the paper out the other day. I got him up at 4:40 in the morning, and he was out all morning. So that's a rite of passage for the Clancy boys to get out and deliver papers. So it's fun.
I'll also say I've checked out the website as well. This is horseracing.com, which you can find the newspaper there if you're not local and you want to pull up the Saratoga Special. Highly recommend it, so go to the website. But you can follow all year long as well. But you updated a little bit.
Yeah, we updated the website, which I still don't know how to use the website, so I'm not actually on there much. That's a lesson that Tom Law and Joe have to give me, which they that's their likable thing they do in their careers, dealing with me and technology. But updated the website. We write year round. Obviously, this is our place. But I was actually talking to Dan Pride before he came up, and he's like, "I like your website, but where's your stuff?" And I said, "We don't have enough content." And he goes, "That'll change." Yeah. So I was like, "Yeah, Saratoga's looming, so that'll change. Now we got all the content we want. Not enough time to write it, but look, this place is this is our haven. This is our our." Our special place. So, and like everybody, I mean, this is it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I have you guys on, because I like to tout it. I think your tagline is Saratoga's Racing Newspaper, which you nailed it, because it's a great way to follow the sport. You guys are out there. The interns over the years, we talked about that with Joe. You've had interns who have gone on to, you're kind of the mini Darley flying of horse racing.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
And then we were talking also, you got somebody at CNN now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. But so people are running around and in the winner's circle after the big races, and you get coverage that's maybe a little bit different than what you're going to find in the mainstream media. That's great. And so, again, you can catch it online at the website. But the hard copy you can pick up at the newspaper. You can pick the newspaper up on the front side and around town as well. But remind folks the schedule this year.
So we go Wednesday, Saturday, and then every day during sales week. So we'll do 20 issues during the whole meet. We used to do 34, 35. And we changed it up a little bit, lots of reasons. The cards have changed quite a bit. I mean, back in the day, it was like you had to go over there and kind of cover every day because it was these, kind of epic races every day. That's changed a little bit. And obviously, the prices of fuel, print, everything else is gone up, and technology. So now we cover a lot of the racing on our website in between the issues, so it's an easy way to kind of catch up with it. And we actually find that readers read the paper more twice a week than when we were coming out 5 days a week. I mean, this place is so hectic and such a cycle. So in a way, people get to slow down and read it and kind of kind of enjoy it a little more than when we're doing them every day. But it's a different challenge, but still a challenge.
Yeah, and again, pick it up, check it online. Great way to follow the entire meet. Obviously, the big stakes races, but you have fun, though. The worth repeating, the quotes, that's a lot of fun. The stable tours, that's been a great addition. Gives people a lot of good information as well. So absolutely pick it up. The cup of coffee column, which you wrote your first or maybe second column, where you're kind of waxing poetic about mornings at the racetrack, and I can relate. Coming up here, coming up Crescent Avenue every morning to the right, the middle of the turn, and it's the morning, and the horses are working out, and behind us, there's nothing like morning at Saratoga.
Oh, exactly. I mean, my brother and sister and I, we used to climb in the back of the horse van. My dad was a trainer. We'd come from Delaware Park, a farm, Pennsylvania, and he'd drive the six-horse Imperator horse van. We'd leave at midnight because it was better for the horses. We'd pile in the back, sleep all the way here. And as soon as you'd make that turn on Union Avenue, it'd be about 5:30, and the sun'd be coming up, and we'd be hanging out the windows of the van. The doors, we used to strap the doors open with, we'd take stirrup leathers and hold the doors open, and had a screen on. It was the most unsafe thing you could ever imagine. All those kids hanging out over the screen that my father literally rigged up the night before, and we'd be looking out that door and see the horses galloping, and he just felt like you had arrived. And, I think everybody here, you just get in that, you're just in an upbeat mood. I mean, that's the most fun part about it. It's just everybody here is on. It's high pressure, of course, for everybody, but I just, it's just one of those places where you just come, I think you kind of, you just be your best here, because it's the best. So that part's just been magical. And our life changes. I was coming up here as a jump jockey originally, and now I bring my son up. He's 13 years old, and we get to spend time together. And it's just amazing how life changes, and your priorities change.
Life changes, but in a circular way.
Yeah,
everything
exactly.
Comes
Yeah, it's brilliant. And now I get to share. My father shared it with his kids, and now I get to share it with my kid. And Joey's kids, I mean, they were like little mayors around here. Jack, Ryan, and Nolan. I mean, they were celebrities and had so much fun. So. And I think that's every, any generation, anybody's coming up as a kid, it's just the best.
Yeah. And again, you guys do a great job covering the entire meet. And let's hit on some of the action in review and in preview, because one of the ones, you guys over the years have done great coverage of the jump races. I love jump racing. And boy, the meet kicked off with just a great result, a great story. We'll go back and look at the stretch run from a couple of days ago, the AP Smithwick, the jump racing in Royal Ascot fashion kicks off with a grade one, and it's won by Down Royal. Kate Dalton trains, Bernie Dalton rides, and I was going to ask Kate to be on the show, but after the race, she doesn't go in to get the winner's circle picture. She's walking the horse back, and you offered, I understand, to do that so she could go in, and she wasn't letting go of the horse, but this was a great story.
This is just the epitome of racing, the epitome of steeplechasing. You have Bernie and Kate Dalton, who work, husband and wife team. They bred this mare. She's now 8 years old, New York bred by Alphabet Soup. They campaigned the mother over jumps and have just done all the work with this mare. She spends her whole life in Camden, South Carolina, at Springdale Racecourse. They shipped her up. Bernie drove her up. They stop at something they call it the Horse Hotel. They stop and spend the night there somewhere. halfway between Camden and here, wherever that may be. And, you know, she shows up. She's a lovely mare, tough as nails. And, you know, that's, I mean, that's the, that to, that, what we try to explain about steeplechasing is that's what you're getting. You're getting old school horsemen who do all the work themselves. They put their money on their table. They're in it. They're risking their, you know, their pocketbook, everything. And it paid off. You know, you get an upset mare. She beat all these European high profile, highbrow European bred horses. And, Bernie Dalton was an exercise rider up here for years for Kieran McLaughlin. Kieran says he's the best exercise rider ever, could ride anything. And
he mentioned that in Winner's Circle, said he rode Henny Hughes in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's just a legendary exercise rider. And he hooked up with Kate. Kate was an assistant trainer for Jonathan Shepherd. She was galloping with Anticipation and those kind of horses. They got together, and he had been long since retired. He rode in England, didn't have much of a career, was going nowhere, and became a head lab for Luca Kamani over there, then started traveling the world, hooked up with Kieran in Dubai, came over here, met Kate. They went to Camden in 2003, I think. And Winky Cox, Burley Cox's son, Hall of Famer, he had a few jumpers and needed somebody to school. Bernie started schooling him and said, oh, I'll ride a few. And that's, you know, that's 18 years ago, or almost 18, 19 years ago. And Down Royal provided his 100th career win in a Filly and Mare Stake in Nashville in May. That's the 41st jockey in American history to win 100 races. And that's a great achievement for a guy that just kind of, he says, this isn't my business. I do it as a hobby. It's what I do for fun on the weekends. So just an awesome story, feel-good story. And, you know, what racing's about, what steeplechasing's about.
I mean, they're in the winner's circle getting the picture. A great one at Saratoga. She's off hosting the horse down, and you were kind of volunteering.
I mean, I knew she's a one, you know, she's a one-woman show, and
she's holding your
hosed her off. I said, come on, let me take her. Go get your picture taken, and she had that shank. And I mean, for love or money, I wasn't getting that mare out of her hand. I said, come on, let me walk her down there. She's like, no, I'm a mess. And so she walked off, and then all the guys in the press who don't really know our game, and they're like, Where's the trainer? I said, she's sprinting down the stretch after. I like that Keith. I mean, it was hot. He didn't even hesitate. He just took off running down the stretch.
Subsequently, I asked Bernie, hey, you and the wife want to come over and be on the show? He's like, I'd love to. We're going to be halfway back home by then with the horse trail.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a super fun story. So a little review. Let's do a little preview. See if you have some thoughts this afternoon on the Lake George. I think it's a fun race. I'm going to use Eminent Victor on top. I think the other Chad Brown runner, Dolce Zell, is interesting. But I pulled up a replay of a horse I think people can play around with maybe at a price, Republique. Go back to Gulfstream, May 29th. Republique is the number four horse here. A couple of starts on the synthetic were two wins. Tried the dirt last time at Delaware and the Delaware Oaks. Didn't do much there. But at 12-1, the Sappy Joseph horse might be a little bit interesting to me. But what do you think of the Lake George?
The only horse that kind of jumped out at me, and I'm not really a paper handicapper. I just kind of look. See horses
you're very
that catch
good
my
at.
Eye, and just over the years, I'm half watching the TV, working, and I look up and I see a horse I really like. And I thought Koala Princess for Arnaud Delacour was just awesome in her first two races. You know, Breeders' Cup wasn't. You know, she only got beat 2.25. Wasn't that bad. He come off a long layoff. He's good off a layoff. I mean, I think. I'm not a stack guy, but if I can read that, it's 45% off 180 days. I just like that filly. I thought she was really impressive. I kind of liked that, you know, freshened her up, brought her here. Obviously, tough race, but again, I just try to stick with horses that catch my eye along the way, and I thought she was really impressive.
Yeah, I know over the years I've seen you coming in and out of the paddock, and you said, I kind of like this, and it's always, which I have no eye for that. I wish I did, but you're very good there. Sean, we got to wrap it up. We appreciate the visit, and again, we'll have you and Tom, your brother Joe, kind of cycling in on Fridays here. Highly recommended to pick up the Saratoga Special on race days, the track. You can find it around town or go to the website and check it out that way. The handicappers are at the website every day. I'm only one behind Chapazian, but Bedard.
Yeah, now Bedard's off to a fast start. Chapazian's a little slow for him, and Tom Law is off to a really slow start, but he had a good day yesterday, so I think he's coming back.
All right. Sean, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Joe Applebaum from NYTHA. A little bit later on, Howard Kravitz is in the green room. We'll have Joe Krong as well, a winner yesterday right up here in Saratoga. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection of one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Joe Applebaum, president of the board of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, NYTHA. Wanted to bring Joe on to talk a little New York horse racing, and yesterday was aftercare day, and I know that's important to the folks at NYTHA. We talked a little bit about that already in anticipation of it, but I wanted to review the day as well, and we'll talk about much, much more. Joe, good morning.
Seth, how you doing?
Very good.
Good to be here.
Happy to have you on board. Before we get into NYTHA and whatnot, just talk about your background in horse racing and how you became interested, how you became an owner.
Sure. I started here probably 35 years ago, coming as a fan, sitting in the way, way backyard.
Out of the big red spring?
Exactly. I still sit back there with Paul Matisse and a bunch of other guys who... If you're looking for me, that's where you can usually find me.
I have not yet been out to the purple table class. Usually on the way out.
You got
to
get out there. Yeah. Come on. I'll tell you, the turning moment, I think, was the Travers Day 2002. A few friends of mine, we all hit a big pick six that day. And we took about half the money and about 3-4 months later claimed a horse. And now I got a farm and a pin hooking operation and... And NYTHA and
everybody's dream. It's a pick six, and now
no, it is not your dream. But here I am, hooked on this game. Literally 20 years later.
That's great.
So,
and now, of course, president of NYTHA, and again, doing great work. We talked to Will Alampievich last Friday and got a little NYTHA background, but just to reiterate, just give us the mission of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen.
So we represent 5,000 owners and trainers, about 4,500 owners, about 500 trainers who race here at the NYRA tracks, Aqueduct, Belmont, and yes, Saratoga. We have really a dual mission. One, I say we serve as the owner's conscience. So about 3/4 of what we do and 3/4 of the money we spend goes to backstretch, aftercare, really philanthropy projects around the track. So we have healthcare clinics at both Belmont and Saratoga free for the grooms. We have a scholarship fund for the children of the grooms. We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on aftercare, making sure horses are retired properly. Yesterday we had our big aftercare day here where we highlighted a bunch of horses that have gone through the program, highlighted a bunch of the farms that we work with. And I want people to understand how committed New York is. We spend total in New York about $1.4 million per year on retiring horses. The bulk of that comes from our owners. Our owners are very generous. We have some programs in place, a claiming fee that that helps fund that, but we get the track involved, we get the jockeys involved, we get donations, and it's really core to what we're doing here, making sure we have a good second career for our horses.
Yeah, a lot of things fans don't think about, the second career for the horses, but also very, very importantly, the work you do for the backstretch workers. You know, people don't really think about what goes on in the morning and all the work that goes into bringing the horses over in the afternoon, and the programs you have and the facilities you have at the various tracks, very important to keep that whole process going.
We couldn't agree with you more. We literally have thousands of workers here, downstate, upstate. There's really few industries in the state of New York that are like this anymore, that have, and this is manual labor. These are people working with their hands all day long. They're not sitting in front of a spreadsheet, people. Like, this is real work, and we need to be here to support them.
Yeah, we're showing the three tracks there. And talk a little bit about how the three tracks play into the New York racing season and how important the year-long racing is to the owners and trainers in New York.
Well, I still want to be able to walk down Broadway tonight, but Belmont is really the anchor, right? That's where all of our training basically takes place. That's where the vast majority of horses are, and that's really the anchor. So we're excited to see what happens there in the future. Aqueduct carries us through the winter. It's a great facility. We actually get amazing attendance there, believe it or not, mostly because of mass transit. And that carries us through the winter. It allows people to establish lives here instead of the kind of itinerant life of most racetrack people traveling every few months. We have skilled workers who are able to work with us year-round, families that we're able to support because of winter racing and year-round racing. And that carries over up here because 40% of the mares that are bred in New York are based in Saratoga County, and it's mostly populating the winter program with New York breds. And then finally, Saratoga is the jewel. It's what brings in a vast amount of wagering revenue. It's our ability, our opportunity to put our best foot forward, not just to the country, to the world. There may not be a more quality meet than Saratoga in the entire world. You know, you talk about Royal Ascot, you know, that's not even a week.
Yeah.
Hey, we're here all summer, guys, pumping out stakes races every day. So, you know, I think there's a good kind of symbiotic relationship between all three, and the kind of upstate downstate balance that we have makes us really strong as an industry and really representative of the state as a whole.
You're wearing the off the hook shirt, and that's your racing nom de plume. You gonna have any horses up here during the meet? And as you sat down, we were talking, a horse you sold actually won a stake already at the meet.
Yeah, so we're really exciting. Opening Friday, a horse named City Man won the Forbidden Apple, a grade three. We sold that horse a few years. I think he's five now already. Time goes by. But a few years ago, we sold that horse to Dean Reeves, and he's been an incredible New York bred and has had success actually in open ranks now too, which is great to see. Nothing makes me prouder. We have a few. I have 3 2-year-olds on the farm, and I have a recovering 3-year-old that I'm begging my partner, who runs our training operation in Ocala. I'm like, come on, send them up here. He goes, no, I need a little more time. I said, no, come on, let's go. So I hope by the end of the meet we get a couple of them up here. If not, by the fall. But we'll see what happens.
All right, we'll root for you. Everybody
you never know with 2-year-olds.
But that's also nice too. That's certainly a feather in your cap too. I've sold the horse that won a nice stakes race up here. Had Dean Reeves on talking a little bit about City Man. Again, I said at the top of the interview, and I wanted to bring you in to talk a little bit about HISA, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act. Now national legislation has recently been enacted across the country, and there's been, I think things have worked out okay. There's been a little consternation, mixed comments from various segments, but as far as New York racing, New York horsemen, how has HISA worked out so far? You know, what are we, about 3 weeks in or so?
So, it officially kicked off July 1. We've literally been working behind the scenes for years to make sure it was palatable to our horsemen. I'll tell you this. For New York, the changes are going to be relatively minor. Yes. Are there some things that are different? Yes. Was registration a bit of a pain in the behind? Yes. Will the next 18 months be filled with missteps and corrections? All of that, yes. However, for the most part, the rules that they have enacted already and the medication rules that they're proposing that'll start in January are extremely similar to what we're already doing in New York. So, yeah, are there states out there that are going to have a a big eye-opener about the level of professionalism and the level of care that they need to give their horses. There are, but not New York. So, yeah, we've made some adjustments. The whip rule's a little different. No one's excited about the change in the hind shoeing legislation. There's some other things that are out there. But by and large, for the most part, it's pretty similar to what we're doing. So, you know, I know, look, people get into horse racing because they love the tradition. They love working with animals. They don't want to be burdened with paperwork. Those are all reasons people get in this game. And all of that occurred with HISA, so no one likes that. I get it. I don't like it either. Yeah. But for the most part, have you noticed the difference here?
No, I was going to mention so like, far we were 3 weeks in. And, you know, there, as I said, there's been some consternation on social media or whatnot, but up here at Saratoga, I haven't seen any.
There's a lot of rumor mongering. There's a lot of tales of things that are not allowed. When I read them on social media, almost all of them are untrue. Okay? The best thing you can do is go to the HISA website, go to the THA website. The rules are all there. Call our office. We have a woman, Julie Carmichael, in the NYTHA office who is there to help all our members. So if you're a NYTHA member and you're confused about a rule or you need help registering, Julie is our membership services coordinator. That's her job. And Seth, I got to say it publicly, our staff has worked doggedly. Julie and Dion and Kristen and Will, who was with you, they have worked doggedly to make sure everyone has been registered, every horse is registered, every trainer's registered, and it hasn't always gone smoothly. There's been tech glitches, but you know what? Knock on Formica. We haven't had anyone scratched. Everything's been smooth, so hopefully that continues.
And when you and I were talking yesterday, you said, you know, yeah, there's been some bumps in the road, but you've had a pretty good relationship with the HISA people, and they're maybe willing to kind of tweak as things go forward.
I think, first off, Lisa Lazarus, the CEO, has been incredibly open and available to the horsemen's groups who are choosing to work with them, okay? Steve Keach, who runs their technology, has been working. I don't think the guy sleeps to get this right. And granted, it was a little bumpy. So we've had innumerable discussions with them. They've made changes and tweaks to the rules. Not every rule. We're not going to get every change made. But if you make a good case, if you make an evidence-based case based on research and veterinary opinion, you have a good chance to get things corrected.
Yeah, excellent. Again, it's something that, you know, the industry has been working on for a while, and it is the law now, and so we've got to kind of try to make it work. And as you say, in New York, a lot of the things aren't that different from what we've been doing anyway, so things are pretty similar up here, and we'll see how it goes forward. And, you know, if there's some good response from the HISA people, it seems like everybody can work together and make this a benefit for everybody going forward.
Look, no one disagrees that we need uniformity, right? No one disagrees that we need, like, open standards. Yeah, you're going to disagree with some of the rules. That's how rulemaking goes. But we all have to work together. We don't have a choice. Yeah. It's the law. It's not changing. They're not going back and changing it. It was like a one in a million chance that the thing even passed to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea that it's going to change is fanciful. So we have to make the best of it. And NYTHA, our job is literally to service our members, to make sure our members are prepared. Those of you looking on TV, we're here to help you get through it. So please call the office if you need help.
Yeah, and as you say, great staff, great work from NYTHA. On this topic, the HISA, but as we mentioned, you know, the aftercare and the backstretch workers. So I will, on behalf of the fans, applaud you and the folks at NYTHA for doing good work, you know, and some of those areas that aren't forefront to the racing fans. So, again, thanks for that, and thanks for stopping by this morning, Joe. Really appreciate Joe Applebaum, president of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. Appreciate the visit, and good luck on the meet.
My pleasure, Seth. Always a pleasure to come on. We'll see you out there. Big Red Spring if you're around.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, more on this Friday edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
Rose turf. 14 of them across the track. Wheels set on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stipe and running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping, Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping, Maria goes on, Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like, Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come, stop shopping, Maria for the run, still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late, yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop jumping, Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern, the grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern, the grey, looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back. You hear me all the time saying when I handicap down in the studio or up here, we always like to root for the locals. And so it's always fun to bring a local on after a win at Saratoga, particularly when they're so local. They're Amsterdam local, my old home burg. We have Joe Krong on. He's with On the Rise Again Stable, and they had a win yesterday, so I thought we'd come and talk a little bit about that. Welcome.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on today. My voice is so shot from screaming. You would probably thought we won the Traverse yesterday.
I saw you after the race and everybody. The whole crew was still coming into the winner's circle, everybody. Let's take a look yesterday. It was yesterday's fifth race. Domineer, I saw you out in the paddock. I wish you congratulations here. And you said, yeah, I think we have a shot. You said, I think we have a shot because the horse had a little speed. We'll see. Kind of didn't quite play out pace-wise that way, but certainly played out very well. Going to be the number five horse here and getting it done. Domineer in yesterday's fifth race at 4-1, and right here you have to be feeling pretty good. Luis Saez on board. Talk a little bit about coming down the stretch and what it felt like to get a win up in Saratoga.
I mean, I heard Johnny I say the pack is closing. I'm going, oh no, we're not going to get swallowed up now. But you know, once we did a little bit of the rain dance, I mean, we wanted to rain yesterday. Obviously, she ran well on an off track down at Gulfstream, and it's a cheap little filly. Jose and I picked out down in Florida. It's a Florida bred, and you know, we took a shot up here. I told Jose, let's just run here. I'm local. I just want to take a shot. If we run last. But it all worked out terrific yesterday. No tag, not claim. She's back in the barn. She's eating up. So it was great. My parents were there. It was a great atmosphere. We were jumping up and down deck again. We thought we won the Traverse.
Yeah, I said it didn't play out the pace, but it was a front-end win. I was just looking at the stretch run there. Horses kind of closing in a little bit, but you said it. Maybe speed pops him, and kind of did that yesterday, Domineer. And again, talk about the crew and walking into the winner's circle. Again, there was a lot of happy faces, a lot of whooping it up, and I don't blame you. Getting a win at Saratoga. Yeah. Is this your first win?
First win at Saratoga. We had five over the winter with Gulfstream with Jose. Jose's an awesome trainer. I met him last summer up here. We had terrific success down at Gulfstream. But first local win here. My parents back in the day with like Joe D and Sports and Stables. We had a win up here. But this was my first actual win. And having my mom and everyone in the winner's circle, friends and family, we were bringing everyone into the winner's circle. It was awesome. I mean, I'm just so happy for Jose. He's been trying to break through on the NIRA circuit for a while. And you know, it was his first win together, and you know, just couldn't be any happier for him.
It was great, and there were high fives with Jose as well. And I remember Sportsman's was at an Amsterdam-based group.
Yeah, right? Joe D'Agostino and all those guys. Yeah, I think they stuff horse with Jorge Abreu. Yeah, see him every morning.
Very good. So again, that was great. Do you have any other horses that you're looking to start up here?
Yeah, Stuck on Kin. She ran fourth in the starter down at Belmont, I think 2 weeks ago, closing weekend with Jose as well. cleaned her down at Gulfstream. She broke the track record that day on the synthetic, but obviously everything was playing speed down there first couple weeks. She's going to run back on the 31st in the starter 50. We just claimed a horse, a Robertina Deodoro, Shadow Matter off West Point, or those guys, Dallas Stewart, the other day. And I got two babies, one with Clamont, that might run next week with Corms. They're local as well. She's working right now, actually. They're calling me. They said, you go on set yet? I said, no, I'll go over to the barn after. But, yeah, she might run, I think, on next Wednesday.
Nice, nice, nice.
So we have some horses here.
So people can look for On the Rise again under the owners and know to root for locals. You mentioned claimings and babies. How do you get most of your horses?
We claim everything for the most part. Luke from Corms, he has a couple of babies he wanted me to buy into, so I did a little bit of that. I really don't like to do the baby angle. I like claiming. I'm a sheet player. I like the thoroughgraph every day. I watch replays. So I'm big on claiming, and you know that's the majority of everything we do is basically claiming.
That's interesting. So because I ask a lot of trainers when they come in if they rely on the numbers and what numbers they use. Thoroughgraph gets a lot of play, obviously. But the thoroughgraph is, I assume, if you're using it to get horses, you're also using it on handicapping?
Oh, every day. Yeah, that's my best tool I use. So, I mean, every day I get the sheets from here at Gulfstream because we kind of shifted focus in the past couple of years. I mean, you probably don't see my name as much in the program here. I've shifted focus to Gulfstream. It's a lot easier to win. It's more manageable. So, I mean, yeah, we have two other down there. I got Victor Barboza and Jose. So I got about two or three more at Gulfstream, too.
Okay.
So just be on the lookout for those.
Can people jump in?
Yeah, I mean, we have partnerships still. I'm still doing that. Just call me. We have like five, six guys now.
Okay.
It's fun. We're all local.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
nice.
What makes it fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we went here together, it's even better.
I can vouch. As they say, yesterday it was fun to see everybody walk into the winner's circle with that. Where'd you watch the race from? Because I saw you coming downstairs.
Yeah, Jose wanted to change it up yesterday. So we went upstairs to the boxes to watch it up there. And I've never really watched race. I usually watch it.
So now forever it's watching from
now
the
box. Now it's forever. That's a lucky spot. That is the lucky spot. No, normally watch it down on the porch on the lower level. And one of my lucky TVs I like watching races on. But over the years, it's never been lucky for races that we run in. So I was like, let's just change it. Whatever Jose wants to do, just follow him. And that's what we did yesterday.
Excellent. So a nice win yesterday. Some horses to look forward to coming up at Saratoga. But I had to have you in. As I say, I always like to root for the locals. And that was a nice performance yesterday from Dominier. So we congratulate you there. And we wish you a lot of luck going forward.
Have a couple more wins.
Hope to see you maybe the beginning of something big, beginning of a nice season here. And we'll look for some of your horses down at Gulfstream as well.
Definitely.
Appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thank you very much for having me on today, Seth.
Joe Krong, again, On the Rise again, stable with the win yesterday, a Dominier. We'll take a break. When we come back, Howard Kravis will join us. The Triple H Racing Podcast. We'll talk a little bit about that, get some ideas for this afternoon. Stay tuned.
Generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. Another nice day up in Saratoga. So far, so good. You know, we will knock wood. There have been a couple of little crazy incidents, but overall, it's been very nice weather-wise, and I think today another one of those days. I mentioned it at the top of the show. I mentioned it before the break. Happy to be joined now by Howard Kravitz from the Triple H Racing Podcast. And normally during the year, when we're down in the studio in Albany for the afternoon show, I'm handicapping three tracks a day to do the afternoon show where we kind of do cut-ins. And I do a lot of that handicapping at night, eat some dinner, go to my office, and I'll fire up YouTube in the background, and a lot of times it's old match games with Gene Rayford. But the front page comes up, and being a racing guy, you know, I'll get racing suggestions. And so it's like 2 months ago, Triple H Racing Podcast, which was streaming live at the time. And I thought, well, I'll check it out. And I liked it. And a couple nights later, it came up again. They were streaming live, kind of looking forward to some big races and doing some handicapping. So I watched it again. And I think it was the Billy Koch episode, which I like quite a bit. And so I thought, I always tend to, as opposed to Twitter, which is tends to be a little negative, I always tend to, if I see something I like, I'll shoot an email and let people know. And so I shot Howard an email and said, nice job with the podcast. And subsequently, we conversed back and forth, and he was coming up here. So I thought, well, we'll have you on, talk a little bit about the podcast. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Seth. I really appreciate it. It's a real pleasure and honor to be on. Love what you guys do. And really enjoyed the show. So
yeah,
thank you very much.
Appreciate that. It. Talk a little bit about the podcast and let people know who haven't watched it. You can find it on YouTube. What's the schedule? And again, typically you're looking at some live races, and you and your co-host, Paul Halloran and Pete Visco, Paul doing a little work for the Saratoga Special.
Yeah, absolutely.
There. But talk a little bit about, you know, the kind of the theory behind the podcast.
Yeah, so the podcast is usually on Thursday nights, but during the Saratoga meet and the big meets, we usually go twice a week, Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. And I started the podcast in early January of last year, and I'm actually a high school math teacher by trade, so I love the numbers, obviously, like enjoy the gambling side of it.
The Marshall Graham side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to do something unique, so we bring on guests, horse racing personalities. One of the main reasons why your viewers would be very interested in the HHH Racing Podcast, we cover Naira like a glove. I've had Andy Sterling on several times, Anthony Stabile, Acacia, Clement, David Aragona. So we love the New York circuit, and we cover it like a glove. So I highly recommend people check it out. And it's a live show, like you said. So we bring on guests and talk about their past. We'd love to have you on at some point, talk about their background. And then we handicap the races because we all want to find winners, of course. And so it's about an hour show, and it's live, and people can live chat in the comments. So you're basically talking, you know, to these guests and famous people you see on TV and throughout horse racing. And so I have a lot of fun. Of course, you mentioned my co-hosts, Pete Visco and Paul Halloran, who writes for the Saratoga Special. So I'm blessed to have some fantastic co-hosts as well, and really enjoy the show. And it's grown immensely. We have about 1,500 subscribers. And since we started, we have almost 150,000 views on YouTube. And so we've gained a fan in you, so we really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, as I say, if I see something that is worth applauding, I like people to know, because otherwise, you know, I know it. When I'm sitting down there in the studio all year long, you don't get a lot of feedback. I come up here and you walk around and the crowd sees that you get the feedback. And I think that helps you improve the show and just feel good about what you're doing, and so I think it's worthwhile to give a little feedback. And I asked the guys to pull up a little video, maybe they can drop that in, of a show to give people an idea of what they'll see when they go on there. But you mentioned, and that's yeah, there it is, there's one of the shows with Anthony Stabile. And as you can see, there are quotes and questions. Folks, when they're on YouTube, because it's live, can put in questions. That's kind of fun, too, because you'll kind of chime in and say, oh, Tim from someplace wants to know such and such. So it's interactive. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to get the viewers involved. And when they see their name, you know, on the comment, they feel like they're part of the show and they're very involved and they get to ask questions. Very interactive. I think it's really important to be as interactive as possible and reach out to the racing fans. So I think we do a pretty good job of doing that.
Yeah, and again, you can check it out on YouTube, HHH Racing Podcast. I recommend it. And obviously, what you do on the podcast is some handicapping, so I wasn't going to have you come over here without doing some handicapping. And you concentrate a lot on picks, so we'll kind of go over the late pick four sequence this afternoon, give some ideas out there. And that late pick four sequence this afternoon starts in race number 7. We were talking on the handicapping show earlier. A non-winners have won for a mere $115,000. It's just incredible numbers at various venues around the country, but Naira is now right up there. I went 1-7-4-8. I put Keep Me in Mind on top. A master of the obvious with the comebacker from Todd Pletcher. But I don't think the horse is necessarily invincible. I think efficiency for Chad Brown might have some upside after the first two nice starts for Chad and Klarovich. Chad also has fighter in the win that I think is intriguing on the move to dirt. And I wouldn't ignore that one at a price. And Naval Aviator looks like an interesting play as well. But what do you see in race 7?
Well, by the way, we have a website, hhhracingpodcast.com, so they could check out. You don't have to go onto YouTube. We have a website where you can find out how to subscribe to a race day blog, which is a tip sheet, and you can see other shows on there as well. So check out the website as well, for the show.
Sure.
On our show, just on Tuesday, we had a Saratoga preview, and one of our main topics was to Chad or not to Chad, right? Chad Brown does a fantastic job, obviously. But, there's spots where I think you want to try to use them where you might not. Efficiency ran off the charts, obviously, last time. But, Seth, I'm always a little susceptible of slop figs. When a horse runs big in the slop, now listen, the horse costs, at $250,000. I'm sure he's going to be nice. He's a gun runner. But, I think he's going to be overbet. A lot of these Chad Browns are overbet. He can win. Keep me in mind, I've got a stat. We all know Pletcher is fantastic off the layoff. Last 5 years, 6-plus months in a dirt route. How about 29% on the win end? 52% in the money. But interestingly enough, 0-for-3 at Saratoga with that stat. I think what that tells you is that, obviously, I wouldn't say it's a negative stat. I think it just shows you how difficult Saratoga is. Right, so obviously, keep me in mind, it can win. The horse I'm interested just a little bit here would be the 6, Tiwanaku. I think Tom Amos does a fantastic job. This is a horse bite.
I didn't know what to do with him off the last race touts him, definitely.
Yeah, I think, listen, it's Carmouche. He's going to be aggressive. The track plate was speed favoring yesterday. There's never wrong with having a horse on the lead. He's a fresh face. He's a 4-year-old who's progressive. I think he's a little bit interesting on top if he can get loose. But obviously, keep me in mind is me the horse.
Yeah, Amos and company claimed the horse. Maggie Moss, clever claiming team. They claimed the horse two back, claimed away from Steve Asmussen out of a maiden 50 claimer, and they must have been kicking themselves that the horse won that day. But then they move into a starter allowance and win in a much improved effort. So as I say, I wasn't sure what I left it out, but I had notes and
full at work also in the holster. Yeah. So the horse is feeling good and comes here with a lot of intent. Nice horse to use underneath, perhaps.
Yeah. If you're playing to pick 4, who are you looking at in that race?
I don't like to single and even money shot, in the first leg. So I'm personally going to try to beat Keep Me In Mind and go other ways. And then if Keep Me In Mind wins, I'll just play the pick 3, right? I think that's certainly a way to play your horizontal betting. It's up to the viewer and the bettor to do that. But I'm going to try to beat the 1.
Okay. 8th race this afternoon. It is a state bred optional claimer. Non-winners of 2, 5.5 on the grass. I went 6-5-3-1. Sassy Melissa, Palace Gossip. I said on the handicapping show earlier, I could have gone either way with those two. I just gave a slight edge to Sassy Melissa. Cocapelli of Christophe Clement, I think, is very capable. These kind of always intrigue me. Very capable of coming back improved, being lightly raced, and having a layoff and making my move with the early speed from the rail. Also an interesting player. But there are 2 or 3 others in here that I could have made a little bit of a case for as well. What did you see in the 8th?
So turf sprints are tricky. I will admit it's not my favorite race. But, Cocapelli, I like fresh faces, Seth. I like horses that are progressive, that are unexposed. Clement, 20 in this move, 6-plus month layoff. In a turf sprint, 25% on the win end, 61% in the money. So I like that. I love Rosario. There's a lot of speed, like you said, the inside with the 1 and the 2. So I like Cocapelli, I believe 9-2 morning line. I think she's interesting. If she's ready, I think she can roll by and win. Palace Gossip and Sassy Melissa, very fine horses. They can win, but you sort of know what they are already.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to find some fresh faces, especially up here in Saratoga, where trainers like Clement and others are pointing to this meet. So I'm going to go 3-6-5. It's a pretty wide open race. I'm looking for a closer, though, in this race.
Cocapelli reiterates something. Bick and I, he hosts with me on Sunday mornings here, and we were talking about this kind of angle, which I alluded to earlier. A lot of times these lately raced horses, 2-year-olds that are lately raced to get a break to their 3-year-old season, or even a lately raced 3-year-old coming to the 4-year-old season, they can come back improved. And I think that is not out of the question for Cocapelli. So I think, again, I'm with you there. That one could be very intriguing. All right, we will take a look now at the feature race, the Lake George Grade 3 event on the grass. These are three-year-old fillies vying for $175,000. We have some replays here, and I'll tell the guys that we're going to take a look at the guys down in the control room, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Pizza Bianca won that one. Koala Princess finishes seventh in there. We'll also take a look at the Wild Applause with Eminent Victor winning. And then the Appalachian, where Spenderella wins and Dolce Zell runs second. Here we have that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. And you can refer to the replays and whatnot. But what did you see in the Lake George?
Yeah, and Koala Princess is the nine here in the green silks coming up on the outside. Listen, it's the Breeders' Cup. It was obviously a very difficult field. But what I like about this race, and this is Eminent Victor for Chad winning the Wild Applause, beating a nice horse for Billy Koch and Red Feather and Oakhurst. I think Eminent Victor is going to be very overbet today. Now, listen, obviously Chad can win this race. I see 5-2 in the morning line, I believe, David Aragon, who's the best morning line maker in the country. There's no way you're getting 5-2 on this horse today, Seth. We're talking 7-5 at least. You know, so I'm going to try to beat Eminent Victor. It's a much tougher spot. This is a race at Keeneland with Dulce Zell and Skims. Dulce Zell's the four. Skims is the five. Now, the four, Dulce Zell beats the five Skims here. But Skims had to come to the inside. The inside was not the better part of the turf that day. In fact, in Keeneland, the inside is usually not best on turf. So even though Dulce Zell beat Skims in that race, I actually like Skims better today because I think Skims gets back on firm turf and prefers that. But Eminent Victor is a very nice horse. We only got to see the end of that race. It was a four-horse field. She got a big number. She could, she's going to be a very nice horse. But as a handicapper, again, to Chad or not to Chad, this is a spot where I'm going to try to beat her. I like Koala Princess. Arnold Delacour, again, I'm a math guy, so I like to look at the stats. And I think Dierra Formulator, shout out to them. I think they do a fantastic job. Again, last 6 months in a turf route, last 5 years, excuse me, off a six-plus month layoff in a turf route, Arnold Delacour, 25% on the win end, 51% in the money. Trevor McCarthy, who does a fantastic job, really good rider take. So I don't mind the fact that, Rosario is not on. I think there's enough speed. And again, I'm expecting improvement. Another sort of unexposed horse that I think can take a step up versus some Chads and others, and you're going to get a price. So I'm going to go with Koala Princess. I'm going 4-6-8-5 in today's Lake George.
Yeah, and I did not use Koala Princess just because others had a little more recency, but I had Dave Grenigan here on Wednesday, and we were and we were taking a look at this race, and he brought up the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, and he said, and you can see it on the page, but going beyond what's on the page, he talked about how potent it was as a key race with seven of the horses coming out and subsequently winning, and what this horse had done prior to that. And I was, at that point, I kind of kicked myself. And now you've mentioned it, and my partner this morning on the Handicappers Report mentioned it, and I had it 6-5-8-1, but on pick plays, I probably not.
Not Koala Prince is going to be 2-1.
No, I have to throw that one in the mix, certainly. And then finally, we wrap up the late pick four today. And when you sat down, you said maybe you had a little bit of a clever opinion in this 10th and final. Go off at about 6:13 tonight. State Bred Allowance Runners going 3/4 of a mile. I went 8, 10, 2, and 6. I thought the 3 might be a little bit intriguing as well. But I put Let Her Inspire You on top off the seasonal debut, which was much improved. But what were your thoughts on the finale?
Yeah, I mean, Let Her Inspire You for, Pletcher of Alaska's China Horse Club. She's the obvious, horse here and might just draw off and win again. But this is a tougher field, obviously. It's an allowance coming from Maine Special. It's not easy to go from, a Maine Special win into allowance company. There's other speed in here. I'm fascinated with the horse, at least underneath. Number 6, Fancy Feline for James Bond, who's had a great meet already. Blinkers on, freshened up. Obviously, they're pointing to this spot. Can close, and there's going to be a fast pace in this race, I believe. Saez in the saddle. I'm a big fan. One of my favorite vertical plays, Seth, is to take a price shot and to backwheel them underneath. Okay. People don't know what that means. That means single that horse basically in the second and third spots. So, for example, if you love Let Her Inspire You, the 8, use her on top, but maybe just put the 6 only in second with a bunch of horses in third, and then you can put whoever you like on top, with some horses in second, and then single or back wheel key, for example, fancy feline in third. So you're going, you know, horses you like with the six with others, and then horses you like on top with others with the six. It's a very cheap way to play a trifecta. I'm interested in her, again, a fresh face who's going to close with blinkers on for a very good stable and a good jockey. Fancy feline, the six I'm interested in, but the eight is the horse to beat. I'm going 8-6-7-3 to close out a fantastic day here at Saratoga.
Yeah, I like it. Fancy feline is at the bottom of my mix, but I agree it could be a little bit of an interesting price in there, and I always want to shop for some prices. And you kind of alluded to it when you were explaining the bet plays there. But that's great, and you guys do a little bit of it on your podcast as well. But I always say we probably should do more of that as handicappers, in that two sides of the same coin, handicapping and betting. And they're based on the same thing, but they're very different. You can be a good handicapper and a bad bettor. And I think a lot of this kind of thing, we concentrate on the handicapping. And I think particularly this time of year and what we're doing, which is handicap or broadcasting to a Saratoga audience, which includes a lot of folks who are fairly new to the game, I think we should concentrate more on explaining a little bit of the handicapping angle and strategies, that winning, hopefully winning strategies there.
Yeah, ticket construction is so important. Whether you're a vertical player like exactas, trifectas, or you're a horizontal player, pick threes, pick fours, you should spend equally, if not more, time constructing your tickets than handicapping. It's like golf. Yeah. We all go to the driving range. We don't spend enough time on the putting green, right? You really should think the other way. So it's a tough game as it is. So hopefully you can pick winners and construct the correct tickets.
Very good. Before we let you go, I know yesterday you, in an auction, won a TRF backstretch tour with the Meg. And I know from talking to people who have done it before and being friends with Kim Weir from the TRF, who put some of that stuff together, and having some of the tour people come by here in years past, it is always a lot of fun. The Meg does a great job. How was your tour yesterday?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It's my first time here at Saratoga. I'm from the Chicago area. It was amazing. We saw many stables. You know, the Mig is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. He's got story after story. Fantastic guy. Can't say enough. And Kim Weir, the TRF, does a great job as well. So the experience was awesome. We hope it continues at the racetrack next few days.
I did not realize it was the first trip. When'd you get in town? How long are you be here? And how's it been so far?
It's been great. We're staying at a house not too far away. We got in last night. We're about 4 o'clock, and we're leaving Sunday morning. So it's going to be pretty quick. I'd love to come back this summer, but as I said, I'm a high school teacher, and unfortunately, school starts, I know, like a few weeks. So, but I hope to make this a yearly journey. Maybe come on the show at a yearly
there
basis as well. If and we'll get you on my podcast as well, HHH Racing Podcast, and HHHRacingPodcast.com is the website.
Well, welcome to Saratoga, and I'm sure you've already experienced it, but I say probably 100 times during the season when we're up here doing the show. When I talk to people, the track's great, the racing is great, but what makes Saratoga really so special is outside the fences. When you're downtown, I'm sure you experienced it. You're sitting eating dinner on the next table saying, yeah, my exacta today, or hey, the Daily Double tomorrow. And it's just the whole community is so into it. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Howard, appreciate the visit. Again, it's the HHH Racing Podcast, the website again?
HHHRacingPodcast.com, and then on YouTube, just go to the search bar and type in HHH Racing Podcast.
Highly recommended. Check it out. Appreciate the visit.
Thank you very much, Seth.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Appreciate Howard stopping by, Joe Krong, Joe Applebaum, and Sean Clancy. It was a full edition, a Friday edition of Racing Across America. Nice day of racing coming up. Don't forget, we're back on tomorrow. 9 a.m. Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. Racing Across America, taking a look at the Saturday action. Looks like a big weekend ahead, Coaching Club American Oaks, and more. So 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, Handicapper Support. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.